And maybe if there's a blank space on the back of the bulletin or somewhere, I would like to have you write down your favorite miracle from the Old Testament. Your favorite miracle from the Old Testament. Write down a miracle, your favorite miracle from the Old Testament. We did a study of miracles here for several months on Wednesday nights, did we not? How many of you remember that? Three of you do. Good. I'm glad that you three remember that study we did on miracles. But there are dozens and dozens. So write down your favorite. I already know my favorite. All right. Then I want you to write down, secondly, a favorite miracle from the life of Christ. A miracle that Christ performed. So the first one is a miracle in the Old Testament. The second one is a miracle that Christ performed. Give you a couple minutes to think about that. Now here's where it's going to get a little harder. I want you to write down a miracle that an apostle performed. A miracle that an apostle performed. All right, let's take a little time to think through our little poll tonight. Who wrote down a miracle of a favorite Old Testament miracle? Keith, what was yours? Parting the Red Sea. Anybody else have parting the Red Sea? Oh, look at how many others had that as a favorite. Somebody else give me another one. Yes. All right, raising the Shunammite's son. How many of you had that? All right, we got a couple. Anyone else? Yes. All right, Balaam and the donkey or the ass that spoke. Anybody else have that? All right, two couple. And another one. Yes. Noah's flood. That certainly was a miracle, wasn't it? Yeah, and that he survived. Anybody else have Noah's? Yes. Manna from heaven. And how long did that last? 40 years. You know, that's quite a miracle. Yes. The serpent on the pole, and all those who were bitten looked and lived. And if they didn't look, they didn't live. My favorite is when the contest is taking place on the Mount Carmel, and where Elijah called down fire from heaven. That's my favorite. As we are up there at a place called Mukraka, up on top of the Mount Carmel. And there's a statue there today of Elijah standing with a sword drawn in the air. And he has his foot on the throat of one of the prophets of Baal. And he's about... It's quite a drastic looking statue, but... God brought down not only demonstration of his power, but also the desire he had to rid the children of Israel of evil. And I don't want to leave anybody out. Anybody else have a separate one? Yes. All right. Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel being kept safe there. We could go on and on. We have many others that we could think of. Now let's think of one from the life of Christ. Who has a miracle from the life of Christ that was a favorite of yours? Yes, Lori? All right. So there in Jerusalem, where did he tell him to go wash? In the pool of Siloam. And he went and washed his eyes and came again seeing. And so, yes. Yes. Brother Coonrod. All right, the calming of the sea. All right. Yes. All right, the raising of Lazarus, and Lazarus come forth, and I too have been in that very tomb and just sang, and while I was singing, the tears just coming down my cheeks, remembering, we sang, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never, never die, shall never, never die. Sang that right where Jesus said it to before he raised Lazarus. Yes. Do that again. Sure. That was his virgin birth. That's a miracle. Yep. So the virgin birth of Christ. And yes. Yep. Amen. My favorite one is, go ahead. Yeah, just touched his garment. Just touched his garment. Yes. That's exactly what I, the feeding of the 5,000 is one of my favorites as well. All right, now, just for time's sake, we had a little longer song service than normal here. That's why I didn't have our men sing, because we've already went a little longer with our singing tonight. But it was excellent singing tonight. You all were in a mood to sing tonight. That's good. Apostles. A miracle from an apostle. Now, that gets a little harder, doesn't it? There aren't that many that we have recorded for. I see a few hands around here. All right, I'll start back here with Ken. All right. Another one? Yes, Jackie? Yep, Peter and John, and silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. Arise, take up your bread and walk. All right, that was at the Gate Beautiful. The Gate Beautiful. Yes. Peter raising Dorcas from the dead. Yes. Yeah, he fell out of the window. He fell asleep. Good thing we don't have windows that you're sitting in around here. And all right, so there are some, there are a few, but they aren't as many, are they? Now, I believe personally that there are many others that were performed but are not recorded for us in Scripture. I believe another one we'll look at a little bit later in this study tonight took place there in Acts, and we will look at that. So we turn to 1 Corinthians 12, would you please? We are in our study of spiritual gifts, and we have been working our way through and looking at some of the various gifts. We have discovered in our study that there are some speaking gifts, and there are some ministering gifts. There are some permanent gifts, and there are some temporary gifts. There are some sign gifts, and there are gifts that are foundational gifts. Those foundational gifts were there to, as it says, build the foundation until such time as God's word was completed, when the canon of Scripture was completed. And so we believe some of those foundational gifts that were given to bring us God's truth ceased once that the canon of Scripture was completed, and also some sign gifts that accompanied those with the foundational gifts. Once those foundational gifts ceased, then the sign gifts also ceased at that same time. And we looked at this list, and let's start in verse 6, 1 Corinthians 12, 6. This is the fourth list that we have looked at already together. And it starts with verse 6. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, and we looked at that word of wisdom. To another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. So that's where we stopped last Sunday night. We looked at the gift of healing together and studied what it was in biblical times and demonstrated that it's really not that today, but it's also one of the gifts that we believe was a sign gift that accompanied the apostles in the foundational aspect of giving the word of God, and that sign gift of healing ceased. And now we come to verse 10, and it says, to another, the working of miracles. Now, what's the difference between a gift of healing and the gift of miracles? Well, in general, the only difference is one is much broader than the other. One is limited primarily to the raising up or the healing of someone with a bodily disease or death. And then the other is much broader. It includes a whole lot of other things than just dealing with the human body. And so it would be a multiplication of the gift of healing to have many other aspects to it. And as we look at this gift of healing, then it is the gift of miracles. It's the ability to literally do works of power. That's a literal translation here. Works of power is what it means to do a miracle. And the person has the capacity then, who has this gift, to do miracles in general. Now, I want to just stop here before we even investigate this a little bit more. How many of you believe you have been a witness to a miracle? I know we call a lot of things miracles that might not truly be miracles. If somebody makes a buzzer-winning shot at a game, we say, oh, that was a miracle, we won. No, we can't count that as a miracle. That is luck, all right? Or maybe a little bit of skill with luck. But not everything that people call miracles are miracles. But how many of you think you have actually witnessed some type of miracle take place? Anybody seen a miracle? All right. That could be considered a miracle, but I'm talking about something that there's no human explanation for it. You know? Now, I mentioned a couple of things that were back in the realm of healing, but they were miraculous, I have witnessed on a few occasions when God has miraculously healed someone, and there's no explanation for it other than prayer, and we did what Scripture said. We anointed with oil, and we prayed, and the prayer of the faith, and the person was healed. And we anointed with oil, and I've used either baby oil or used olive oil. Again, if you're involved in that, what is the oil? That is just a symbolic thing representing the Holy Spirit. There's no medicinal ability to that oil. It's just the symbolism of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on a life. But again, we will study James sometimes, and James has some wonderful instructions for us as to healing. And let me just stop by saying, when there is an opportunity to pray and anoint and to see someone healed, who initiates that? The Bible is very clear that it's the person who's sick who initiates. Let him call for the elders and let him. So it's not, I don't put a shingle outside the house over there and say, I'm taking all calls for healing. If you need some healing, give me a call. You know, no, it's always the one who is in need of healing that initiates that. And we could look at that. But any other miracles that you have seen take place? Yes. I did not see this personally, but I remember being in a missions conference, and there was a man who had been a missionary, and he was really what I call a statesman missionary. I mean, he was a missionary that God had used with passion, and a man of, and he gave testimony, this missionary, that in his own life he had been working among some tribal people that had witch doctors and witchcraft, and a tribe where they practiced walking on hot coals. And after they had done it with some of their people, they challenged him to do it. And he, in the name of the Lord, walked on those hot coals and did not burn his feet. And all he could say at the end was, God did a miracle. God did. I had faith. And now... again, we're not talking about whether or not God can do a miracle. I believe with all my heart God can do anything God wants to do today. If God wanted to perform a miracle tonight, he could do it. No limits, no question at all. God can do miracles. And it's no question in my mind that in the Old Testament and in Jesus' day and in the early formation years of the church, that God was performing miracles through individuals. But I also believe it's one of those gifts, the working of miracles, at any moment, under any circumstance, and at any time. I believe that was a sign gift that was used by God to authenticate the messenger. And once that the messenger no longer needed authentication, then that gift then also ceased in and of itself. But let's examine a little bit more here. Let's turn to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. And verse 9. Acts 5:9. Who do we have in view here? Peter and who else? Ananias and Sapphira. And it says in verse 9, then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. Now, that was a miracle, a very, very sobering miracle, a very, very frightening miracle, a miracle that I don't want to see repeated here in our congregation. But nonetheless, at Peter's speaking, when he said, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out, she fell down dead. That was a very serious time when Peter's message was being vindicated. Let's turn to Acts chapter 13. And verse 8, but Elymas, the sorcerer, for so it is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. So, this is kind of a frightening one, just like Ananias and Sapphira. This was not a miracle done perhaps to improve a situation. This was a miracle done to demonstrate God will judge wickedness, and those who stand against him, he will judge. And so at Paul's word, what happened? Elymas was blinded. And so we see many, many miracles, and we have already talked about some of those miracles in our earlier part of our service tonight. But let's go over to 2 Corinthians, and again, notice that these miracles, chapter 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we want to make sure we understand the clear teaching here. And verse 12, 2 Corinthians 12, 12. And it says, truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. And so again, it gives us the scope and the purpose of these signs and these wonders and these mighty deeds or these works of power. They were there to confirm the gift of the apostle. And once that gift of the apostle no longer needed confirming, because the last one died out at around 100 AD, who was John, and the scriptures were now completed, so the apostles no longer and the prophets no longer needed to bring the word. Once it was completed and perfected, then their gift of apostleship ceased, and the sign gift of miracles that accompanied their gift of apostleship also ceased. So it was a temporary gift. It was not a permanent gift. And so again, don't be confused. God can heal. And God does heal. And God can do a miracle. And God does miracles. But he has not gifted individuals in the church today with the gift of healing or the gift of miracles. Have I ever prayed that God would do a miracle? I have. I have prayed that God would do a miracle. And I believe that there are times when maybe I haven't fully recognized, or maybe God didn't answer it just exactly like I prayed it, but he has miraculously heard and answered prayer. And I know that he is able to do that, and he will do that, and he can do that. But I don't believe that there are those who are gifted to do works of miracles or to those kind of things today. Now, we will move on next week with our study of the gift of distinguishing of spirits. That's the next in the list here in 1 Corinthians 12, the distinguishing of spirits. And again, there was a very important reason that that had to take place, especially back in those foundational days. Without getting too far into that study, how do we distinguish those spirits today? Well, we have a distinguishing book that helps us. They didn't have that completed revelation at that time, and so they needed those with the gift of distinguishing spirits. and we'll look at that together next time. Just before we close our service tonight, I would just like to remind you, we have a young man who's been coming to our services here for 3 or 4 or 5 weeks now. His name is Alex. How many of you have met Alex?